And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with our friend Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Dan, if you're new to the show, by the way, thanks for joining us. Dan is an ASE certified technician at Lloyd's Automotive. And Dan, good morning to you.
Good morning, Denny. Good to hear from you.
And you as well. Always a fun show. Folks love it. And they are standing by to ask you any kind of a car care question. Now, if you need to bring in your vehicle for service to your favorite shop or your favorite dealer, and you'd kind of like to get a little knowledge ahead of time of what might be ailing, so there's no big surprises, why don't you call us, call Dan, or send Dan a text if that's easier. And keep in mind, Dan's going to be with us till about 7:45, so not a whole lot of time to get those questions answered. So my point is, don't wait. Call or text as soon as you think of your question, and we'll help you out. Here is the phone number. It's also the text number, 651-461-9226. When I was visiting Dan at Lloyd's this past week, you and I were talking about, like everybody is talking about, the price of gasoline. And it seems to be headlines all over the place, as maybe, well, it should be. And you and I were thinking, you know what? And I know you were on CCO earlier this week, right?
I was. Yeah, I was on with Vanita maybe on Thursday or something like that.
Okay, and that's good to talk about that very thing, of maybe what can we do? Can we change our driving habits to help at least, you know, become a little more efficient? And what do you think? What kind of tips do you have for us?
Well, I think what you just said is probably the one that you can that will have the most effect on your gas mileage is driving habits. Starting with, don't drive when you don't have to. That one's obvious, but maybe we don't think of it all the time. You know, maybe we have time. We could walk for whatever little errand we're doing, or we could ride our bike on a beautiful day. But yeah, leave the car parked when you can. Ride share, you know, team up with friends or family when you're going somewhere. And also, my daughter mentioned this last night that their family has switched to using, you know, they have four vehicles in their family, and they have switched to where they're now sharing the most fuel efficient one or two vehicles. And letting the ones that use the most gas sit. And that's a good idea. You know, there's a whole bunch of little things you can do to the car itself to get better gas mileage, including maintenance, Denny, as you know, with getting your oil changed properly and doing proper maintenance to have air filters and you know, tune-ups and those sorts of things done. One thing that we all can relate to, Denny, as you know, as a kid or maybe even now, you get on a bicycle, and if the tires are low on air, it's really hard to ride.
Oh, yeah.
And as soon as you pump the tires up to full pressure, it rolls along real nice. So that's, you know, a simple thing that we can do with our car is check the tires and be sure that they're inflated, maybe even overinflate them by a pound or two. And that will help with better gas mileage. And then some free things that you can do that maybe we don't think about is the car manufacturers spend a lot of money making the vehicle that we drive as light as possible. And we can do that by simply emptying all the stuff out of our car that we don't use or need, and, you know, empty the trunk and empty the inside of the car, clean it out, and take all of that weight out of the vehicle. And then if you still have your ski racks on from the winter, or you have a space box up on top of your car from a previous vacation, get all that stuff off, all that wind resistance.
Oh, yeah.
Get all that stuff off your car. And I think that can do a lot to help. And, you know, Vanita said, or asked me the question, so will any of this make a big difference? And the answer, of course, is no, not any one of these things. Or asked me the question, so will any of this make a big difference? And the answer, of course, is no, not any one of these things will make a big difference. But if you do all of these things and put them together, that's where you'll start to notice a difference.
It'll help, so, for sure.
Yeah, it'll sure help.
Let's grab a call from Steve this morning. Dan, Steve's calling in from Ham Lake, I believe, this morning. Steve, thank you. What is your question for Dan?
Well, I've got an 07 Trailblazer with about 140,000 on it, and the left front tire has horizontal play that seems to be diagnosed as the tie rod issue. I don't have the same problem on the passenger side, and I'm wondering if we get into replacing the tie rod only, if we're going to run into ball joint problems or other miscellaneous parts. I'll hang up.
Oh, well, you know, that's a good question. We would not sell all of the front end parts preventatively unless the customer wanted us to. But I've done this many, many, many times where I'll replace one tie rod, get the car realigned and get it back on the road, and the rest of the components will last the life of the car. So I would say I do not change all of the steering components preventatively just because one of them wore out.
All right, good question. Thank you, Steve. Let's grab another call before we break. Tom, I think, is on the horn calling in from Anoka this morning. Tom, thank you. What is your question for Dan Burns?
Subject is catalytic converters. If you have a certain year car and a certain mileage under 80,000 miles, is there a federal act that covers catalytic converters?
Well, I know catalytic converters are required, and if your catalytic converter has been stolen, I can't legally put a straight pipe back in there. So in other words, if you're missing a catalytic converter, I need to put a catalytic converter back in there, and I don't know what the exact law is to describe that to you, but in fact, if a car came with a catalytic converter, it needs to continue to have a catalytic converter.
All right, good point. Again, here's our phone number. It also happens to be the text number. And keep in mind, Dan will be with us till a little less than 30 minutes from now. So if you have any kind of a car care question, call it in or text it in. It's 651-461-9226. 66 degrees in the Twin Cities. You may still see some shower activity in your neck of the woods. And high today, probably in the upper 70s. We'll be back with more car care here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Denny Long here, along with ASC certified technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. It might be a little damp this morning, but still a beautiful one. Dan, tell us where Lloyd's is located for those that may need your help.
Well, thanks for asking. We are at 982 Grand Avenue, which is right between Lexington and Victoria. You can find us on the web at LloydsAutomotive.net, LLOYDS, LloydsAutomotive.net, or give us a call, 651-228-1316.
Very good. We'll get you that info before Dan leaves us this morning, which is close to 7:45. So any kind of a car care question, don't wait. Give us a call or send a text to Dan at this number, 651-461-1316. 9226. Dan, let's grab another phone call. This one, Dennis is calling in this morning from Richfield. Dennis, good morning. What is your question for Dan?
Good morning. I really enjoy your program, you guys.
Thank you.
This is from my brother in Mankato. He owns a 2008 Chevy Impala, almost 300,000 miles. He called me and said that he's been getting messages when he's out driving. He drives out in the country, gets little messages that pop up on his dash that say the oil is low or something like that. And the driver weighs, and he knows he's not low. He knows it's full. And he driver weighs, and that'll go off. And then another message will come up, and I can't remember exactly what he said, something about the engine. And the car is running fine. So he headed into a the mechanic, and mechanic, I don't think he put it on the computer or anything. He just said, well, that's an older car. It's just the glitches in the computer. So I'm just wondering if the car seems to run fine. So what should he take it to another place and have them put it on a computer? I don't know how expensive that would be for him. He doesn't have a lot of income. He's retired.
Yeah. Well, I think the right thing to do would be to at least have it diagnosed and be sure that it is indeed safe to drive the way that it is. Sometimes a small problem turns into a big problem, and if you can avoid that, that's probably a good idea. But the only way you'll know that is if they check out what that check engine light's about and know for sure that it's safe to drive that way. And it very well might be, but we don't know that without actually hooking it up to our computer and seeing what the deal is. Sometimes he can even take it into an auto parts store or something like that, and sometimes they'll have a code reader, and they'll be able to just read the codes out, and then he can do a little bit of research on his own to see what that's related to and see if it needs attention. But with regards to the oil light or the oil level light coming on, I'm not sure on that vehicle for sure, but it might have a sensor in the oil pan that reads the level of the oil, and those sensors fail from time to time. The sensors fail and the connectors fail, and you know, I'd have to do a little research to see if his car has that system. But if it does, and he knows that it's full of oil, then that probably is no big deal to drive it and just ignore that light.
Very good, Dennis. Thank you for the call. I'm looking at a text, Dan, and this one says, it's actually a question and a comment. 2018 Honda CRV. In the winter, texter says, I get close to 30 miles per gallon. In the summer, it's about 35 or 36. How can I do better in the winter? And then so we've been talking about efficiency. But the comment is, in the old days, we used to put a piece of cardboard in front of the radiator, but I think those days are gone.
Those days are gone. Do not do that.
Don't do that.
That's a terrible idea. But, you know, that's just the nature of our climate. A vehicle gets way better gas mileage in the summer than it does in the winter for a whole bunch of reasons, like rolling resistance and, you know, the efficiency of combustion and all of those sorts of things. And there's really and the mixture of the fuel that they blend for us is a little different in the winter than it is in the summer, and all of those things have an effect on fuel efficiency. So with regards to what you can do in the wintertime, you know, the things we talked about, drive modestly and don't let your car warm up too long. It's good to let it warm up for a little bit, but don't let it warm up, you know, too long. And some of us have a tendency to do that. But it's just the nature of living in Minnesota. That's what you're going to have to put up with. You're not going to get as good of gas mileage in the winter as you do in the summer.
Absolutely. Dan, hang on. We're going to have a look at that forecast. Just a reminder to our listeners that Dan will be with us for about another 15 minutes or so. So if you have a car care question, don't wait. Call or text 651-461-9226. It's a Saturday here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And good morning. Welcome back to a Saturday in CCO land. Denny Long here, along with ASC Certified Technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Dan, we have a handful or two of minutes to go here in the show. We have callers and we have texters. Let's see how many folks we can help out this morning. I think Myrna, calling in from Maple Grove, may be first up here this morning. Myrna, good morning. What's your question for Dan?
I have an Audi Q3, probably about 2018. I was shopping yesterday and pulling out of the shopping center. I'd stopped maybe, been there like half hour. And when I started the car to pull out, it just kind of like wanted to roll to a stop. It didn't have any power or very much. And I got it to the corner to turn, and I thought, I'll head for home. And it stopped a couple of more times or just rolled. And then when I turned, then shortly after, it seemed like it was going just fine. So I thought, well, I'm just going to drive it and see. And I went to my next spot, probably 6 miles away, stopped there, came home, and it was fine. But I don't know why it had so little power.
Well, what do you think, Dan?
Yeah, I don't know why it had so little power without seeing it either. That, however, is not uncommon where a car will be acting a little bit funny. You pull over, shut it off, restart it, and it comes back to life and everything is normal. The one thing that we could do is scan your computer and see if when it was acting funny, if it stored any diagnostic codes in it. But beyond that, we're going to have to wait for some more symptoms or another experience to do any good diagnostics on it. But maybe it would make sense to bring it in and, you know, tell this story to your shop and have them scan the computer and just see if there's any information stored in there.
Yeah, it sounds like a good idea. This texter, Dan, says, my car is 4 years old, 10,000 miles on it. What determines the point of needing a battery change, time or miles?
Well, not miles, but time is probably the biggest thing. You know, a battery does deteriorate over time just because of the chemical process that's going on inside. And so, you know, Denny, as you know, we've said maybe every 4 to 6 years, a battery in Minnesota should be replaced just so that you don't get stuck somewhere and have trouble. So mileage doesn't have so much to do with it. If you drive it a lot of miles, in fact, that's probably good for the battery because it gets charged up better in between starts.
Well, you said it 1,000 times. Cars are meant to be driven, right? Not to sit around.
Yeah, that's right.
Here's a 2015 Dodge Caravan. The radio, OEM radio, is not working. We don't like that. The texter was told the problem is within the radio. Texter says the Bluetooth works. So does satellite radio. Is there somewhere that repairs OEM radios? A replacement from the dealer, they say, is almost $500.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, yes, there are places that repair them, but I don't know that you're going to do better than $500. One thing that I would recommend that you try is disconnect the battery on the vehicle. Leave it disconnected for a few minutes and then hook it back up and see if that makes a difference. Sometimes it will. The radio will reboot and work again. It's a long shot, but it's worth trying before you go out and spend the $500 to replace the radio.
Sure. Here's a 2003 Toyota Avalon. No rust, runs great. Repairs recommended new struts. I note no abnormal tire wear. Do you think new struts are necessary? 2003 Avalon.
Well, probably not necessary. I would agree that if they'd never been replaced in that many years, they're probably worn out and not working very well. But as far as whether it's safe or not, except for an emergency situation where you need all the control you can get from the vehicle, it's not quite as efficient as it used to be when it was new, or as efficient as it would be with new struts. But I don't think the struts in any way are going to catastrophically fail and cause you to lose your steering or anything like that.
Okay, Dan, I think we have time for one more text before we let you go. 2017 Chrysler 300, 40,000 miles on it. The engine blew the head gasket. The warranty covered a new motor. But Texter said I had to pay $890 for a new starter. Why do you think that was?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know why the starter would have had anything to do with having the engine replaced. Usually we just swap them right over and it's no big deal. So I can't answer that question for you, but I think the shop that put the engine in should be able to explain that to you.
I think that's a good idea. Dan, we have to head out of here, and we'll come back next week with more show. But for folks that want to get in touch with you guys at Lloyd's Automotive, what's the best? What are the ways to do that?
Well, come on over. We're at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul, which is right between Lexington and Victoria. You can find us on the web at LloydsAutomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, LloydsAutomotive.net, or give us a call, 651-228-1316.
Very good, Dan. Always a pleasure. Let's do this again next week, and I hope you and the folks at Lloyd's have a great, great busy week.
Yeah, great. Well, that 97-degree Tuesday will be a challenge, won't it?
Yes, it will. A lot of AC work there, I have a feeling. All right. Right. Thank you, Dan. Have a good week, as we said. Dan Burns, ASE Certified Technician at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Jack Farrell's Wine Chat is next here on CCO. Then at 8 o'clock hour, Smart Garden returns. Mary Meyer from the U of M will be answering your lawn and garden questions. Keep those in mind for next hour. Then in the 9 o'clock hour, Andy Lindis answering your home improvement questions. That's all straight ahead. Here on News Talk 830, this is WCCO.